Father, we give you this last meeting.
Amen.
Pray that you especially bless us, appear to us, and speak to us through your living word.
Amen.
Pray that you will open our eyes. Grant each one of us truly spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
That we will really see how to practice the priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to you through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. We commit all the saints into your gracious hands.
Amen.
Pray that you will preserve us for the priesthood and for the kingship.
Amen.
And to make all of us ready for the second coming of the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
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 Amen. I hope that you're all still fresh and living. Amen. Just be patient for one more hour and you're released. Amen. Father God, we thank you. It's a wonderful process of consecration. And I can really testify to you, this kind of consecration will keep us all the way to the end.
Amen.
Right? May the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Even in this wonderful process of consecration, we need Christ as all these offerings. Now you can realize how important all these spiritual offerings are. For our priesthood, especially. Right.
Amen.
Amen. I hope the Lord will really open our eyes. Now, let's go to the last point, or second to the last point, but we already talked about point G, right? The relationship between the priesthood and the kingship. So, the last point for us this morning will be point F. Actual carrying out of the services of the priesthood. Of course, the most wonderful honor and privilege of being a priest is to able to be able to draw near to God. You might not think that this is a service. It is the first point of service. 你如果不学习亲近神的话，你怎么侍奉他？ Right? What are you going to do if you don't draw near to God every day and most of the time? How are you going to serve Him? Are you going to tell Him, okay, you just remain on your throne, let me do all the work for you? You cannot do that, right? This is why the priesthood is a privilege and an honor, a gift given to God. Can you imagine, Frank, every day you get to see and talk to President Duterte? Well, this must be an honor, right? For me to go see President Duterte is going to ask, who are you? I cannot go to see him, right? It's even hard for me to enter the Malacañang Palace. Right? Yeah, can you go and enter Malacañang every day? I want to see the president. The guard will tell you, go home. Or go to jail. You cannot see even the president. Right? Is it easy for you to go see him? I have something I want to talk to him about. People will look at you, something wrong with your head. You don't have that privilege. But, as a priest, you have. have the privilege to come near to God anytime. Isn't that wonderful? Why don't you make use of that? How often do you draw near to God? Maybe you're so busy you don't have time to draw near to Him. Right? But to draw near to God, coming before the throne of grace, enter into the Holy of Holies to really have fellowship with the Father, with God, and then to receive word from Him, to fellowship with Him. Don't you think it is a wonderful privilege? Actually, this is the number one service of the priest.
Otherwise, 你要怎么释放呢？你都不知道老板要你做什么，你要乱做。你要先去见见老板，问问老板，你要我今天做什么？我要怎么做呢？你也要陪我去做啊？
Right? You need to draw near to this wonderful God whom you are serving. Receive instruction from Him. Let Him tell you what to do. Don't just do routine job. Right? It becomes a traditional thing you do, and you don't have to ask Him anymore because you know what you should do every day, because you're doing it in a traditional way. You don't need to ask Him. You don't need to ask the Lord whether He's happy with your work or not, what you should do, right? A good employee would always come to the boss and says, "What should I do today? What do you want me to do?" Right? What task? Right? What is the first thing? What is the most important thing that I should accomplish today for you? Right? You have to draw near to God. And this eventually became, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, the privilege of descendants, sons of Zadok. They can draw near to me. Well, nobody else could draw near to God. The one sitting on the throne in the most holy place. Why don't you make use of that privilege? Unless you're not a priest. Right? If you're not a priest, of course not. I have nothing to say. But praise the Lord, the foremost wonderful service is the greatest, most wonderful privilege of all is to come to the living God, face to face. You know, one thing I really appreciate, Moses. You remember Aaron and Miriam, especially, must be instigated by Miriam. God doesn't only talk through you, God also speaks through us, right? And so they were against Moses and some kind of a complaint, right? Did Moses say anything? Fight. Yeah. Did Moses argue? Hey, God appeared to me and asked me to go face Pharaoh. He didn't talk to you. I'm the one. And what are you talking about? Get lost. It says Moses was the meekest man on earth. Right? And so God spoke for him. What did God say? If there is any prophet among you, I decide. Not you, Miriam. Not Aaron. I decide. To many other prophets, I speak to them in the dark. But to this man, Moses, I spoke to him, and I speak to him face to face. Oh, what a privilege. Right? Ah, I got jealous. Why did you talk to Moses face to face? How about me? Of course, I'm joking, right? But hey, on the other hand, today, as the priest, God has given us the privilege to come near to Him. This is really wonderful. This is the first service. So remember that. Because if you never learn to go to Him and have a face-to-face fellowship with Him, right, you cannot serve Him properly. Praise God. Amen. And then the next point, I'm going to make a fast fellowship, right? Because you need time to pack, you need time to get ready to go home. You must be all very eager now to go home, especially the traffic. Today is a holiday, right? Now, for us, it's not a holiday. Lord Jesus, I don't like cemetery. Neither do I like seminary. I always speak the wrong word. Instead of saying cemetery, seminary, I always say cemetery. I'm not sure anymore. What. Yes. I know, yeah. But it's not H-O, is it? It's not H-O-L-Y, right? H-O-L-I. No, it's a holy. It's H-O-L-E-Y. Just like the road in the Philippines, it's very holy. Maraming butas. Amen. Zen is the second most important thing of the service of a priest is to serve at the altar and behind the veil in the holy place. Where, if you're not a priest, you can only stay in the outer court. Unfortunately, most of the Christians, because they don't serve as priests, they only remain in the outer court. But a priest gets to serve firstly in the burnt offering altar to deal with all the offerings. Without a priest, you cannot serve, you cannot bring and offer your sacrifices. It is the priest that bring the sacrifices and help you to offer up the offering you brought. Right? And then the priest will help you at that time in the Old Testament days to offer the sacrifices on the burnt offering altar. Right? This is the privilege of the priest to handle all the holy things. Not the holy, remember the right spelling, right? And then to serve behind the veil. Now let's take a look at the picture, the simple picture here. Right? In this tabernacle, you have the holy place, and then you have the holy and holies. So, first of all, the showbread. It is the job of the priest to always bring every week, every Sabbath day, fresh showbread on the table, the golden table. Why is it called showbread? Who's going to see those bread? Nobody can enter there, right? And then there's nobody there that can just go and take a peek at what bread it is. So, who are you going to show the bread to? To God. Because God has to see to it that this bread is pure, holy, and living. Right? And season the salt. No honey. No honey. You know, there is a positive meaning of the word honey, but there's also a negative meaning of the honey. What is the negative meaning of the honey? It is our natural, sweet relationship to one another that oftentimes bring corruption. Yes. That your honey sweet is not very good. Right? Don't try to be so sweet. But of course, don't try to be so sour either, right? I don't mean that. But what I mean is our natural fallen human being tend to have a relationship that may not be very healthy. Right, let me just give you a very simple example that may apply to you. After a meeting, we always tend to get together with our special friends. Right? Special friend. So after a meeting, if Philip is my special friend, the first person I go to is to have fellowship with Philip. A special friend. We have a special relationship. Right? We can only be friends, but not special friends. Why? Because that kind of relationship, one day if he's no longer for the Lord or he's against something in the church, and I know he's wrong, but then because he's my special friend, I stick to him. And that sticking to him will influence me not to take side with the Lord, but to take side with Philip. And that relationship should not be within the house of the Lord. And there you are, a new brother or a new sister, right, who came to the meeting for the first time. I don't go to him, I'll go to Philip. And that new person is sitting there by himself. Nobody talks to him. Nobody talks to him. How about that? So this is a kind of a special thing that I don't know why it caused us to stick together. But of course I'm just talking about something that is more in a normal rhythm. But honey has a negative implication in this case, that our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, he never used his natural attraction or natural ability to draw people to himself. No, he never did that. And he said one word, nobody can come to me except my Father draws him. So he will not use anything that is of this fallen nature to be attached to somebody else. Unless, of course, somebody is your wife, or your family members, or of your parents. Yes, that is a different situation. Right? But our relationship in the house of the living God should not be just the natural relationship, but our relationship with one another is in a higher level. There's a special spiritual relationship. Right? Otherwise, you're going to take side if things happen. Yeah. Otherwise, because of this unhealthy, sweet, natural, sticky relationship, you will lose your sense of judgment. Because your friend is on the other side and the Lord is on this side, what are you going to do? You will go to the other side. So in our priestly service and generally among God's people, you should see that this humanity of the Lord Jesus, this bread from heaven, is without leaven and without honey. This too negative element is not in the humanity of the Lord Jesus. You remember a rich man coming to the Lord Jesus, right? Well, he's a rich man. A rich man. A rich man, brother. Coming to the Lord Jesus. He says, how do I enter into the kingdom? The Lord says, keep all the commandments of Moses. And he says, I already did. Oh, the Lord says, wow, that's a good young man. One thing you lack. Sell all of your riches and give it to me. Did the Lord say that? No. Sell all your riches. Give it to the pastor. Give it to whom? Give it to the poor. And you come follow. You know, if you only have $1 in your pocket, it's very easy to give all you have. Because it is only $1. But if you have $1 billion to give that up, you think you can do it? Maybe. That's a good answer. Oh, that is, praise the Lord. He has a desire to do it. But he is not confident that he could. But at least that desire is good. But only if the Lord tells you to do it. Not if I told you to do it. If I told you to do it, I would tell you, give it to me. Please transfer it to my account tomorrow. This is what a pastor will tell you. But the Lord told this young man, you give it to the poor. And you come follow me. And this young man couldn't do it. He didn't say maybe. He's really sad. But you know, he should have said, Lord, I can't do it. You know, if he says that to the Lord will help him and maybe give him another way. Right? But he went away sad. What are you going to do with such a young man? Who go away sad? You're going to just let him walk out the door? Huh? How about you? Huh? You will say, no, wait. You misunderstood me. You can do it slowly. $1,000 a month. You don't have to give us everything all at once. I will do that. Oh, right. He's such a good, young, rich man. You let him go away. No. Don't do that. But the Lord did not stop him. The Lord did not stop him. That means, hey, the Lord will never use his convincing power to hold somebody and try to gain him just because he likes this young man. No. In the church life, we can only gain a person by the truth. By the living word of God. By Christ. Don't use a band. Hire a famous band. Right? And attract so many young people. All the young people will come, of course. Right? If we have a nice band here, not just three poor guitars. Sorry, brother. Nobody will come. And then we don't have a nice choir with, you know, a I told you already that mega church pastor sent his wife to Hollywood acting school so that she will be more useful for the gospel. And don't do that. Don't use any other sweet, sticky means to gain people to come into the church life. No, don't do it. No. You remember at the end of the Lord's work, there's only 120 people. Not too many people. And he's the master himself. Right? Why? Because the Lord never used any other means to gain people other than the truth. Right. If people don't want it, don't try to use any other means to trick them into the church life. They don't want it. Just leave it. It's okay. Right. No honey. Oh, I'm distracted talking about honey. Sorry, we don't have time. But here, you can see the golden table here. The priest must every week prepare the showbread. And after every Sabbath, leaving there for God to check it out and see, then it becomes the fruit for the priest. What does it tell you? It tells you that you should not eat just anything. You should let God examine the food first. He's the best food scientist. He will tell you, don't eat that, it's too much chemical. A lot of religious teaching from Pharisees and Sadducees, right? You know, the Sadducees, they are sad, you see. Right? Well, the Sadducees, right? So if you see people that are very sad, they are sad. You see? They put so many ingredients, it is not of the Lord. My, so people sit there, hear it, and eat it, and all those things get into their system. It's easy to get in, it's hard to get them out. That's why it's called a showbread. Firstly, you bring it to God, you show it. Then the priest will eat it on the seventh day. Then they eat it above that. So don't swallow just anything. Don't believe everything that people tell you. Every book that you read, the only book that is unleavened is this one. Every other book, I don't know if they are really trustworthy. Unfortunately, we appreciate man's writing more than this Bible. And at the end, isn't it true? People just read what Mr. So-and-so wrote. And, oh, if I don't have that book, I will not understand the Bible. So at the end, there's so many leaven added into it. That's why the priest should take care of the showbread. Make sure that the food is pure and not contaminated. Right? Okay, let's go on. What about the light? In the holy place here, there is no natural light there. So you need a golden lampstand there. And it is the job of a priest daily to put fresh oil in it. And there are seven lamps that you're shining forward to enlighten the whole place. We need the light of life. Golden lampstand, and a priest must make sure that in the holy place you always have fresh supply of olive oil, not rancid oil. Right. How about you? Do you get filled by the Lord every day? Or, yeah, I was filled with the Holy Spirit last year. Last year, that oil last year, you cannot even use it today. It will smell like gasoline. You know, daily a priest should make sure that the oil is so fresh. Right? And the oil within us gives a light to people. All the saints, you give the light of life. And then you need to serve in this little golden incense altar here. And this is to burn incense to the Father. Many times our prayer doesn't have incense. Oh, Father, bless my business. Oh, I'm going to have an exam already next week. Father, help me to get an A. And help me to remember all that I studied. And I pray that a professor will not give a question that I have not studied. You know, your prayer is like that. If your prayer is like that, there is no incense going up to the Father. No incense. What I meant is, many times our prayer is, oh, Father, help me. Oh, Father, I need help. Oh, somebody's sick. Oh. You know, there is no Christ in this incense added. Right? To really ascend to the Father, to accomplish God's purpose on this earth. Your prayer is mostly related to your problem, to your need, catered to your situation. So the angels with the incense there, with the censers are waiting to add the incense into your prayers. So in the book of Revelation, we cannot look into it. The prayers of the saints are like a golden bowl. Right? And in this golden bowl, the incense must be added into this golden bowl so that through your prayers, the incense will ascend to the throne. That kind of a prayer would definitely be answered by God.
Amen.
Right? And this is the reason why in chapter 8 of Revelation, let us just read quickly. Right. And this is the beginning of the great tribulation, the judgment is coming, judgment day. But before God started his judgment, right, the seven angels there were standing before God, ready to blow the trumpet, right? And then here we read verse 3 together. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, this golden incense altar. And he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Praise the Lord. This is the golden altar before the throne. I don't want to go too much into it, but these must be the prayers already of the saints who were raptured there before the throne. And before God's throne there, they were praying before this golden incense altar that is now before the throne. That means God will not start his judgment before the saints pray. And the prayer of the saints, right, to really be one with God to carry out his judgment, because they have been waiting for so long and tolerating so many things there, right? And now judgment day is coming. So the saints are praying, just like in seal number 5, those who are beneath the altar, calling out to God, how long are you going to wait before you take vengeance for us? And now is the time, and God still needed to wait for the saints to pray. And after the saints prayed with these golden bowls, the golden bowls is in chapter 5, but here is the incense added to their prayer. Then God started his judgment. This shows us how important our prayers are. Our prayers are very important. Not just to pray for our daily need. Of course, your daily need, God knows your need. Don't worry about that. If you take care of his need, he will surely take care of your need. Don't worry about that. Right? In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord told us that. Right? Now, this is the place where the priests will be serving. Right? Primarily, I'm not saying that's the only thing that they will be doing. Okay. Praise the Lord. Too bad we don't have time. Right. And then number 3. Of course, the offering, right? We don't need to talk about the offering now. Many of you are clear concerning the offerings. Number 3, to teach the Word of God. There are so many verses here. The ministry of the Word, the pure Word of God, is important. Right? The priest, if you want to serve God as a priest, it is impossible if you don't know the truth. You really need to know the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God. In prayer. Because this is part of your job. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 7, let us just read this portion. Somebody read it to us. Right? This is in the last book of the Old Testament, right? Malachi. Somebody has it? Yes, please. Sophia, stand up and read it to us, please.
For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts.
Amen. The lips of the priest should keep knowledge. That means, dear brothers and sisters, remember that, especially as brothers. What comes out of your lips is very important. Paul says, let no foul language, corrupt words come out of your lips. But only those that are seasoned with salt, full of grace, that will supply life and grace to those who hear. There are many things anybody can say, you know, you can say, I don't mean you're so serious, you cannot say a joyful word, right? Don't be like that, no. But, hey, be careful what comes out of our lips. James says, hey, we need to take care of our tongue. Right? Our tongue should not all of a sudden come something bitter out of our mouth, and then the next moment something sweet out of our mouth. Out of one source, you cannot flow all some salty water, and the next you have sweet water. No, don't do that. As young people, learn to preserve your lips. Otherwise, the Lord cannot use your lips to speak His word. Right. So, the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law of God from him. And what else did it say at the very end?
For he is the messenger of the Lord.
For he is the messenger of the Lord. The Lord is not going to send somebody to speak when during your daily living. I don't know what you're talking about. He is the messenger of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right? So to be a priest, learn to share and bring the offerings of the Lord. You know, bringing the offerings every Lord's Day, in a sense, is also a training for all of us to speak Christ out as an offering to the Father. And because you're offering it to the Father, you cannot just say anything as you like, right? So, to bring an offering to the Father is a training for you. To learn how to speak heavenly language, to speak Christ, to offer up spiritual sacrifices to the Father. If all of you would be doing that, Sunday after Sunday, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, after 1 year, be very easy for you to speak Christ to your friends, to speak your experience of this Christ to other people, right? And you will be trained to really be a messenger of the Lord. Otherwise, how are you going to be trained? So, bringing the offerings, actually it is God's wisdom to train you. Unconsciously, you are being trained to present Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
Right? Don't think it is impossible. No, it is possible. But you need to be trained. Oh, you all have two lips, right? Don't you? And you have a tongue. And you know how to speak. Tagalog, English, a few words of Cantonese, some Mandarin. You're even learning a few words of German, right? So that proves that you can speak. But now you have to learn to speak the heavenly language. How about speaking the spiritual dialect? So the priest should really learn to speak the living word of God, to speak for Christ to other people. And I do believe the offering of the sacrifices is a good training. Right? When you're talking to your friends, your tongue is very free. You speak so fast. But when you're speaking spiritual things, you're, in English, it's called tongue. What?
Tied.
All of a sudden, your tongue becomes so stiff, it doesn't move. 是不是这样啊? 骂人很快, 哇, 好像机关枪一样。 要把机会传给朋友们，一句话都说不出，你也不知道要说什么。他说：“哇，要骂人啊！My goodness, and your word is even sharper than a three-edged sword, not just two-edged sword. Wow, my goodness, you cut people to pieces when you scold people. You have not only the two-edged sword, you have three-edged sword. Maybe nobody has seen that yet. But you just wait and see. It is not easy to speak the word of God. The ministry of the word is not just to interpret the Bible and speak doctrines and find a theme, a topic to talk about in Sundays, and then you look into the internet, and you look into this book, and you look into that book, and then you prepare a message. This is not how a priest should speak. But I don't know what it is, but you are a professor, you're not a priest. Right, praise the Lord. Then, you have to read all these verses when you're at home, okay? Yeah. Then, a priest must learn to judge righteously. Don't be biased. Be righteous. Whenever there is controversy, there's a judgment, a case for judgment, you should learn to judge righteously. Right? You know why in the court you have the lady with a sword and with a... And with eyeglasses? No. With a magnifying glass to see who is richer, who will give me more money? Is that how they judge? No. What is it? Who is there? You don't even know who is there. If the world knows how to do that. Of course, they don't practice it. It's just a statue, okay? The church is not blindfolded, only the statue. But here in the church life, don't have any respect of persons. Be judged righteously, especially the leading brothers. You want to be a leading brother, you learn to be righteous and judge righteously. Don't be biased. Don't be, oh, because Charlie is my friend. Pwede na. Right? How do you say it? Okay na lang. Forget it. But I don't like John Yao, so when he comes on. Oh, you see. Then you say something according to your biased judgment. God hates that. Don't do that. Right? Because as a priest, there are so many cases that they need to help the saints. There's a judgment. So you cannot be biased. You have to judge righteously. And then, of course, preaching the gospel. You know, I use this verse here, Romans 15, verse 16, right? Because Paul used a very special word, and I believe that's the only time in the New Testament that this word is used. Paul used the word ministering the gospel to the Gentiles. But that word ministering is a very unique, special word. The root word of that ministering, that verb, is the same as the priest. If I can turn the noun, the word noun, priest is a noun, right? If I can turn it into a verb, I will say, priestering the gospel to the Gentiles. But there is no such word. So, some translations are better, ministering as a priest the gospel to the Gentiles, because we don't have that vocabulary. Right? Just like speaking the truth in love, Paul used the word truth in a verb form, truthing in love. Nobody knows, because there's no such English word. Right? And so here, this word is to function as a priest. So preaching the gospel to others is not just trying to explain to them Jesus Christ died, but you are serving as a priest, bringing Christ to people. Christ as a sin offering. Christ as a trespass offering. Christ as a peace offering. You want to make this person who is an enemy of God to be reconciled to the Father. Right? And this is the job of a priest. Amen. Then, number six, to serve with reverence and with godly fear. Amen. You have to learn to fear God. You know, there's one verse I really like in Psalm 147. Let us read Psalm 147. Here. Concerning the Lord who builds up Jerusalem. Verse 10 and verse 11. Can we all read it together? Right? Psalm 147. Verse 10 and 11. Okay, please. Firstly in English, then in Chinese. How about that? Okay.
He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who hear Him, in those who hope in His mercy.
Praise the Lord. 中文，中文。他不喜悦马的力大，不喜爱人的腿快，耶和华喜爱敬畏他和盼望他慈爱的人。Praise the Lord. Our God is a God who builds up Jerusalem in verse 2. Right? In verse 2, people may read, the Lord builds up Jerusalem and He gathers the rich people of Israel together. How about that? He gathers the good people, the nice, sweet people together. No. What does He gather? The outcasts. So you see, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Otherwise, you are going to do so many foolish things because you're not afraid of Him. Right? And so, in chapter 12 of Hebrews, it says, therefore, seeing that everything is going to be shaken and the Lord is going to remove everything that is of this creation, man-made, anything that is made by man's hands, the Lord is going to remove and shake up everything so that only the unshakable kingdom will remain. Seeing this, therefore, let us serve God with reverence and godly fear. Why? Because our God is also a consuming fire. If He's not going to judge you today, He's going to judge you later. It's a matter of time. Don't think that if He doesn't judge you now, it's okay. No, it's not okay. He's just giving you another chance to repent. Don't think that if He doesn't do anything to you right away, it's okay. That He forgot about it, or maybe He didn't see. Don't fool yourself. He's just giving you a chance. Or he's waiting to see how far you can go. Some people ask, why don't you? Oh, you have to do something. I said, no. First of all, I'll let the Lord do it. He can do it better. And secondly, I said, I want to see how far they will go. Right? Because if you don't go far enough, we don't know what else is hiding in your heart. Right? You stop it halfway, you don't know what is the second half. This is God's wisdom and this is God's way. So learn if we want to serve as priests. You serve with reverence. Not reverence for men, but reverence toward God. And with godly fear, not fearing men, but you fear God. Don't turn it the other way around. You fear men and you don't fear God. That's not very wise, okay? Right. So may the Lord raise up such a wonderful priesthood amongst us and teach us how to serve as priests in the right way. Amen. We all need to learn. Give everybody a chance to really go forward. It takes time. We cannot be perfected overnight, but we must learn to improve, learn to go on, and train ourselves. After 1 year, 2 years, and the Lord maybe is going to give us 7 more extra years, right? And what are you going to do with these 7 extra years? Cruise and see the world and go to Disney World and then go to see the snow in, I don't know where you can see the snow in Hong Kong, right? You see the snow. And, is that what you want to do? No. You better get yourself ready for the coming of our great God and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Right? May the Lord's grace be with all of us. We stop early today. You can have some time to pack and get your things ready. And get ready for the traffic. Without murmuring and complaining. Yeah, praise the Lord. Do all things without murmuring and complaining, including driving in the traffic. Praise the Lord. I don't know whose song book this is. It belongs to the church, right? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for your patience. Amen. And have another.